program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Yetis and simpletons, poison ghouls. Tonight, we once again don the stiff, sticky trappings of the faux medicinal arts, lace our boots tight, and duct tape our waders to our waists as we wade into the postmodern moral quagmire of torture. We will titter with glee as we watch our simian cousins attempt to retain their Judeo-Christian ethics as they attempt to survive in this meaningless world that Dobbs has sold them. Of course, while this may be a great deal of fun, it is very, very, very bad news for us, Yetensini. But we'll get to that later.
I'm sitting there on Sunday morning in the chief of police's office at a large table.
Torture.
He was listening to a football game.
Let's be upfront about it.
A football game.
Torture. T-O-R-T-U-R-E.
On a small transistor radio.
That's the bottom line these days.
And I had it very low.
It's replaced death. Even teenagers kill themselves these days, along with the depressed and terminally ill.
And I began to hear
death's a release from pain and anxiety and humiliation.
This very low
valued reward.
Very low wailing sound.
But the threat of death just isn't enough to control people, so the ante's been raised.
Coming through the walls.
Now it's torture.
Then it got louder.
And high-tech torture at that.
Then it got louder. And it was a moaning sound.
As the technocrats say, it's functional.
The chief of police told the colonel to turn up the radio.
That's why everyone who's intelligent and unanesthetized enough to care has sort of put their life on hold.
But then the sound got louder.
Underneath all the defensive layers of denial, we're all afraid of being tortured.
Anguish.
Or homosexually gang raped, or having it happen to someone we care about.
Dreaming.
And we're all self-consciously living a lie.
And I knew what it was.
We're all happy Joes.
And I knew that this man was being tortured with.
How did it happen here in the land of the free, in the home of the brave?
Tortured with electricity.
I mean, in some banana republic.
Well, it kept getting louder.
Some distant past, like the Spanish Inquisition.
And more horrible.
World War II, the Nazis, and the fanatical Japs.
And each time.
But not us Americans.
And each time.
G.I. Joe.
And each time.
Frank Sinatra.
And each time.
Jerry Lewis, Autumn in New York.
The chief would tell the colonel.
Baseball.
To turn up the radio.
College football. Glenn Miller.
Pretty soon.
Somehow it doesn't fit with torture.
Pretty soon the radio was very, very loud.
But it does, of course it does.
I could still hear those sounds.
Because it was always a facade, the image of America. And now the facade has finally failed.
Anguish.
Like a burned out clutch.
Screaming.
Or a decayed tooth that breaks open.
Horrible.
They both smell bad. Strange. Ominous.
Going back to the office in the embassy, naturally I was speculating who that possibly could have been.
heart in everything that I did was to save the lives of Americans who in some cases were being tortured to death.
And we will. And we will. And we will. And we will. Rape and torture. 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 Rape and torture.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, good question. I appreciate you asking that question. And that's exactly what's going to happen shortly.
Rape and torture. 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 Rape and torture.
Hear or consider an application for a writ of alien detained by the United States who has been detained as an enemy combatant or is awaiting such to hear or consider any other action
detained by the United States,
transfer, treatment, trial,
or conditions
of
against the United States,
transfer,
and has been determined by an enemy combatant
or is awaiting such determination.
The Title 10
United States
Code,
as added by Section 2,
the authority of the President
to the Constitution to establish military commissions of the areas declared to be required.
Other person
who, before, on, or after Act 2006, has been determined to be another competent tribunal established under the authority of under this chapter
may be convened by the Secretary of the United States.
Designed by the Secretary
or that other action
may relate to Geneva Convention
or any
or indirectly
for
any purpose
any court
to alter
or limit
any provision of this
Act
or the application of
the
unconstitutional
future
remainder of this Act and or circumstance
shall be affected thereby.
No court, justice, or judge shall have jurisdiction to habeas corpus
application
filed by or on behalf
of
military
commissions
determined by the United
States
to have properly determination
awaiting defense.
No court or justice or judge
shall
have jurisdiction by the United States
or its agents
relating to any aspect defined as an alien of who is or was detained
in
the United States
to
have been properly detained
under the
authority to establish military
commissions
may be under Chapter 47A
of 3A
may be construed to alter or limit the United States and laws of the United States
under martial law
or occupied territories should circumstances the date of the enactment of military commissions
to unlawful enemy combatants
by a combatant status review tribunal
the President
or the Secretary of Defense
to establish
declared to be
military commissions
of defense
or by any officer
or official
of purpose
under
no person
and
any habeas corpus
or
any protocols
thereto
as a source
of
rights
whether directly the United States
or its
states
or territories
if provisions
to
any person or circumstance
is held
in
the application of provisions
to any
other
circumstance
is held.
Anything we do to that effort, in this effort,
any activity we can
is within
law.
We do not torture,
and therefore we
do not torture.
We do not torture.
We do not torture.
We do not torture.
We do not torture.
We do not torture.
We do not torture.
I think about this every single day, and we'll continue thinking about it. Is that all right if I call you a piece of work? Adam, I think about Iraq every day. Every single day.
I think about
this every day. Every single day. And we'll continue thinking about it. Is that all right if I call you a piece of work? Adam, I think about Iraq every day. Every single day.
I think about this every day.
Anything we do to that effort.
In this effort.
Any activity we conduct is within the law. We do not torture.
Christianity, like most religions, seeks to suppress normal human mental function with pain and humiliation. Christianity is, at its core, a death cult, organized around the sacrifice of their own God. The highest-grossing independent film ever made in the United States, graphically, almost pornographically, catalogs the many potential and supposed tortures of their God. Torture is a natural extension of the fears and desires of pink humanity, and furthermore, a natural extension of the beliefs of Christianity, of self-sacrifice taken too literally. It's entirely reasonable that if one's own God was made to torture and die terribly, then why not a heathen, a Mohammedan, a Buddhist, or, well, a subgenius? You don't really believe that they are walling the Mexicans out, do you? Oh, you poor, sad, dead little monkey. What do you think the commander in Chimp meant when he spoke recently of a third religious awakening? Witch burning, of course. Witch burning? You burning. But we've gone into all that before. You should be well prepared for your terrible, terrible, terribly funny death. I expect you to be laughing. And so the Institute is beyond asking the mere simple questions as to why monkeys can't recognize their own reflection, and why they are surprised when adherents of the state death cult attempt to put their real beliefs into practice.
One cannot read the Gospels without getting the distinct impression that Jesus came to die. Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. Much of the Gospel narratives focus upon the death of Christ and those incidents surrounding the death of Christ, sometimes called the Passion narratives. Now, normally, scourging was a precursor to the crucifixion, and it was a brutal affair. In fact, one could even die from it.
How do we, as we consider ourselves civilized people, how do we react to things like this?
With horror, with sorrow, and with determination. It reveals the face of an implacable enemy who's willing to violate any norm of civilized behavior, and it should stiffen our resolve to eliminate them, and it should also make us understand how tough this struggle is going to be.
The scourge itself was made out of wood. It had a wooden handle with leather thongs, and on each end of those leather strips was a sharp piece of bone or lead. And it would lash the flesh, it would tear it into threads, it would look like tattered toilet paper. Our dog sometimes goes after our toilet rolls. He pulls them down and he tears them up. Well, that's what it would have looked, his back raked with this scourge. Sometimes, apparently, gaping wounds were of such size that you could peer in and actually see the vital organ or the entrail. This body, no doubt, was covered with horrible bruises and cuts and wounds. And don't forget that he had been beaten black and blue prior to this. Then they began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him.
And when I saw the prisoners, the Iraqi prisoners being captured and being blindfolded by the USA Army, I knew it.
And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands.
Well, these are just a few bad apples. It was verbatim what they said about, you know, the torture manuals and those who killed the Jesuits and the church women and El Masote, and the list simply went on and on. And that really angered me. But, I must say they're consistent in telling the lies, trying to downplay the evil and the seriousness of all of this.
But it's obvious here, when you read through what they do here, they are beginning to mock him like a cat playing with a half-dead mouse, bashing it back and forth like it were a ball of string. It's that sadistic kind of cruelty that gets pleasure out of seeing people hurt and wince when you hit them.
I really wish that some one of these, right-wing pundits would just let themselves be waterboarded once. Just on national TV and tell us how that feels, and then they can call that not torture.
How long it went on, we don't know, but it must have gone on for a while. Then they struck him, or kept on striking him. We could read it this way. They kept on spitting on him. They kept on spitting on him. But don't we see, brethren, how depraved are the hearts of men? Don't we see here how depraved are the hearts of men? Very few people in the world, especially in modern Western culture, are willing to face who they are.
Well, it is tough, and I think we've been seeing that, but where do we go from here?
Don't react in a way that makes us behave in the way they do.
Most people view themselves quite positively. Most people have a view of man that is quite flattering. Man is good, or basically good, and they believe the longer we live on planet Earth, the better we get. But how do you explain the Jewish Holocaust? How do you explain September 9/11? How do you explain the millions of babies unborn that are aborted every year? How do you explain all of the sex crimes? How do you explain all of the murders? How do you explain the serial killers? Man does terrible things. Man has always done terrible things, and man will always do terrible things. And if you want simply to look back in history and time and see how terrible man is, look here.
Abuses are inherent to a war. You cannot have a clean war. You have to have rapings, killings, torture. It's impossible. That's war. That is the meaning of war.
Is God somehow caught off guard? No, he sits in the heavens and laughs.
Oh, the loudspeakers blow. fuck up and say.
Learning to live each day. It's just one at a time. I'm trusting in the Lord to make it ever sublime. I will not put God first in all that I do by accepting His Son, Jesus, to carry me through. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. This He has promised, this He will do, and for Jesus alone can make all things new. I now trust in Jesus to show me the way to happiness and love throughout the day. With Him at my side and His love in my heart, my life is beginning to have a new start. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. I am now learning how to love and forgive my fellow man as I am learning to live. Learning to live means to accept the Lord by following His powerful dictates in full accord. This I can do with Jesus at my side. We now have a love that will never subside. Jesus Christ, 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 Jesus Christ. Rock over London, rock on Chicago. The heartbeat of America, that's today's Chevrolet.
Yes, with all that Christian love and charity, it's not hard to understand why some people having been told for their entire lifetimes that they were born bad, and that in all likelihood they will spend all of eternity writhing in pain doled out by a loving God, well, some of these people get a little cuffed in the head. And these rebels, as it were, adopt the binary opposition. No, not of actually enjoying pleasure, which is a lot harder than it sounds, and incidentally, recent studies indicate that this may only be possible for Yetis. No, these poor, sad, mere human apes adopt the binary opposition of enjoying pain. If we carry this thought to its illogical conclusion, it suggests an afterlife in Christian hell of back rubs, foot rubs, oral sex, that sort of thing. Sadism, of course, is nothing without masochism. And so we wind up in a world of young Baptist human ashtrays and lots of cutters. Surely this is exactly what Jesus had in mind.
To blow your mind. terrify me. Why couldn't I see? My blood-splattered body was in ecstasy. Sex, pain, pain, pleasure, eternal torture lasts forever.
If you would like more information on the Church of the Subgenius, you could write to them at P.O. Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118-1417, or visit them online at subgenius.com.
You have been subjected to Negative Lands, The Bottom Line. Elle and I put together the torture collage. WhatHaveYa.com, all spelled out there. Put together rape and torture with President Bush's voice. Then the torture cut-up, a cut-up of House Resolution Number 6166, the detainee law. Steve Craig manipulated our president into torture. Then the Jesus torture sermon, which was mostly actually in context, an a cappella version of Christianity is Stupid from the Negative Land album It's All in Your Head, FM. Just like torture is all in your head. Athame got off on eternal torture. Helloween performed a compressed as much as I possibly could version of Mr. Torture. And Johnny Society sang about Chinese torture. And then Negative Land again with methods of torture. We'll close out this evening with a few relevant words from former President General Dwight David Eisenhower, a man who knew about atrocity. And then Negative Land will do something terrible to a monkey, because we don't just torture each other.
We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. 3 of these involved our own country. Despite these holocausts, America is today the strongest, the most influential, and most productive nation in the world. Understandably proud of this preeminence, we yet realize that America's leadership and prestige depend not merely upon our unmatched material progress, riches, and military strength, but on how we use our power in the interest of world peace and human betterment. Crises there will continue to be. In meeting them, whether foreign or domestic, great or small, there is a recurring temptation to feel that some spectacular and costly action could become the miraculous solution to all current difficulties. A huge increase in newer elements of our defenses. Development of unrealistic programs to cure every ill in agriculture. A dramatic expansion in basic and applied research. These and many other possibilities, each possibly promising in itself, may be suggested as the only way to the road we wish to travel. But each proposal must be weighed in the light of a broader consideration, the need to maintain balance in and among national programs. A vital element in keeping the peace is our military establishment. Our arms must be mighty, ready for instant action, so that no potential aggressor may be tempted to risk his own destruction. Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II or Korea. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. Today, the solitary inventor, tinkering in his shop, has been overshadowed by task forces of science, in laboratories and testing fields. In the same fashion, the free university, historically the fountainhead of free ideas and scientific discovery, has experienced a revolution in the conduct of research, partly because of the huge costs involved. A government contract becomes virtually a substitute for intellectual curiosity. For every old blackboard, there are now hundreds of new electronic computers. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocations, and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the capital of a scientific, technological elite. As we peer into society's future, we, you and I, and our government must avoid the impulse to live only for today, plundering for our own ease and convenience the precious resources of tomorrow. We cannot mortgage the material assets of our grandchildren without risking the loss also of their political and spiritual heritage. We want democracy to survive for all generations to come, not to become the insolvent phantom of tomorrow.
And now, once again, it's time for Wildlife Tonight. Dr. Oslo Norway here with a shocking remote from Wildlife Tonight. Right now, we are going live to Wildlife Tonight's Buck Logic over at the San Francisco Zoo, where Buck is going to demonstrate why there never was any Adam or Eve. Buck, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Oslo. This is Buck Logic with Wildlife Tonight. And where could you find more Wildlife Tonight than the San Francisco Zoo? We're here in the zoo's new Stinky Monkey House, a generous endowment from the Simeon M. Stinky Estate, makers of Stinky Shoe Stretchers. And here with me is Chuck, the night shift monkey man at the San Francisco Zoo. Is that right, Chuck?
Yes, something like that. Yes.
Well, we appreciate you letting us in after hours to do this, Chuck. And if you're ready now, please bring in the monkey.
Are you sure about it? That's my last.
Yes, it's quite all right. And here he comes through the ironclad door with a chimpanzee. We'll do it right on the table there, Chuck. Careful. Get him up against the armature. Tie those straps securely. They can take your face right off.
Doing the best I can.
So what we're going to do right here on Wildlife Tonight is shave all the hair off this chimp from face to feet. Now Chuck is going to spray the restrained chimp all over with Gillette's new Tough Guy shaving gel. And we're going to begin shaving this chimpanzee's entire body clean of all hair. And I believe this is another exclusive for Wildlife Tonight, and it's all in your head, FM. Although I must confess, I don't see why no one has done this before. And now Chuck, ow, not too fast there, Chuck.
It's really, this is not an easy
Chuck
short.
Chuck is rapidly shaving the chimp's body now, and there seems to be a little discomfort. But come on, we've all been shaved. It doesn't actually hurt that much. Now we're seeing some real skin here. We're doing this full-body monkey makeover for the first time anywhere because I'll bet none of you listening out there have ever seen a shaved monkey before in your life. Think about it. I'll bet never before. And you know what? There's an important reason why you've never seen a shaved monkey before. And it does not include protecting the dignity of the animal. That's just an excuse. Nope, you have never been allowed to see it because it's a shocking, almost unbearable testament to our own intimate link with animal evolution.
I could lose my job over this.
Chimp appears very angry. The chimp is strapped in a snake position to a sort of a crucifix-style armature on the table. Trembling a little under the restraints. No. Be gentle, Chuck.
I'm having a little trouble with this.
Poor
thing. I'm going to have to switch to something else here.
And now Chuck is struggling to shave the feet and toes. What's his name, Chuck?
This is a girl. We call her Cherry.
Cherry. Wow. Cute breast. Be sure to get all around her private parts, too. I want a completely shaved monkey.
I'm doing it.
Wow, that makes her very angry.
Yeah.
She doesn't like that at all. We're sorry we have to put this innocent chimp through this, but it's simply necessary to create a greater good for all of us. Sort of like testing cosmetics on them. Chuck is using a Jumbo Gillette Pro-Tech Tough Guy Razor system on Cherry. And perhaps it should have been a Lady Pro-Tech, but it seems to be working just great anyway. From first shave to last, always a smooth shave with Gillette. And come to think of it, in Cherry's case, this probably is her first and last shave. But when this chimp is entirely shaved, everyone will see for the first time why we are truly all brothers to this sister under the skin. And now Chuck is finishing off her face and neck. Just leave a head of hair like us, that's all. No mustache, it's a girl. Great, that's it. And here comes the hose. Rinsing her all off now. And there you have it. Look at that. Release the straps, Chuck. Amazing. Creepy, but amazing. Turn her around, Chuck. Turn her around. Keep turning her, Chuck. That's it.
She looks just like my kid.
Now, I was going to say, I realized this in rehearsal. Once you see a monkey's full frontal bearskin anatomy, something we have never been allowed to see before. It's so strangely like our own bodies, just different proportions in the parts, but all the same skeletal and muscular structures. It's like an organic revelation. All right, Chuck, you can remove the shaved chimp. A wonderfully telling demonstration. Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. And don't worry about Cherry, folks. We have a little skirt and sweater for her.
And Cherry, here's a banana for being so good.
Well, what can anyone say? Seeing is truly believing. A Wildlife Tonight revelation. And for God's sakes, what more need we be? So, that's it. Nature's clock is ticking. Thanks to Cherry the Chimp, Chuck the Monkey Man, and the Gillette Shaving Corporation, now in your face with the Pro-Tech Maximus 2 Jet Shave System. I'm Buck Logic, now back to Oslo, Norway's brain at It's All in Your Head FM.
That's it for Wildlife Tonight. Thank you, Buck and Chuck, and good luck.
Wildlife Tonight is a syndicated feature of the Simian Stinky Networks.
Oh yeah, the slag killed my baby. Oh, she cold on a slab, and I don't mean maybe. Covered her with honey on a fire and hill. Made her drown, cause she don't have no gills. Oh, that's that our slag. They said they were fighting a conspiracy when they beheaded my baby on live TV. TV, crushed her under an iron ore load, and dumped her body on a country road. I carved a water pipe from her little skull, made her blow up like an Alka-Seltzer seagull, if you know what I mean there. You ought to know by now that the hour slack killed my baby. Every Saturday night at midnight right here on WREK Atlanta.